appreciate God's goodness to us each one tonight to be, have some reasonable portion of health. I appreciate the Lord making it possible for me to be able to travel as well, and also to give a touch to my son where I could feel very free about coming and knowing that it'll be well with him and with my family. I'd like for you to turn with me to the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah. I thought the Lord has put on my heart some time ago, and I ask an interest in your prayers. I don't know what altogether. There's several things I can call this message. It has to do with the bread of life, but I think the best title would be nourishment for the soul.
Yeah.
God has a way of granting every one of us the kind of nourishment we need in our soul. And we can live in a way that pleases God. And we can fight the good fight of faith.
Yeah.
And we can not only live for ourselves, but we can live in a manner when others look on us, that they will see something that causes them to want the God of salvation as we have. So I appreciate God's goodness. I'm thankful for all he's done for every one of us tonight. Pray God will continue to bless, keep his hand over this service and that souls, and be brought to his kingdom before this revival is over.
Yes, amen.
All right, I would appreciate it if someone could read for me. I think you could move maybe a little faster than I do right now. I'd like to start at the first verse of the 55th chapter of Isaiah.
O everyone that thirsteth,
yes,
come ye to the waters.
Amen.
And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat.
Yes.
Ye come by wine and milk without money and without price.
Yes.
Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread?
Amen.
And your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness.
Amen.
Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live.
Yes.
And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given for him a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people.
Yes.
Behold, thou shalt call the nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee.
Amen. Is that through the sixth verse?
Through six, verse 6.
Okay.
Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near.
Yes. All right, we have quite an invitation here tonight. It isn't everywhere you can go and hear an announcement that you can come and eat and it won't cost you a dime. Without money, without price. Which means we've been given an invitation as something above and beyond the norm. In the spiritual world, when we look at what is truly nourishing to our souls and we look at the things that are hazarding our souls, then we have something to choose from.
Yes.
We understand and know that God has granted us a way of strengthening our soul, our mind, our body, our spirit. He has a way of touching us in a way that causes us to know that it is the Holy Spirit himself that is able to direct us, to guide us, just as it is in our daily life we realize we're going to have some kind of nourishment in order to survive. We're not just talking about the survival of the fittest. The fittest is anyone that'll give themselves to God and allow Him to have His way in their life. That's what causes survival in your life, in my life. It's not just eating some of the things that are very tasty, something that we've been accustomed to and we have habitually eaten from time to time. Sometimes we question whether that food is really good for us. But you know, when we endeavor to live close with God, He'll speak to you and tell you whether or not this is something that's good for you or something that's going to be a hazard for your soul. And so, as we think tonight about how much all of us desire and want the very best that God can provide for us, and God wants the very best of us to be able to understand and know what it is that's going to give us strength in our soul and what it is that's going to weaken us as we go along in our experience with Him. And so everyone, it's no this one and that one, a high one or a low one, or someone that we don't know very much about. But after all, whoever it is that has a desire and a longing and a thirsting in their soul, God has made a way to cause that person to be able to be strengthened with all might in the inner man. And He has blessed them in a way that we have access to everything we need before God. And so we are living in a world and a time where food is almost very sacred for us in the extent that we have to have a real carefulness about us today about what we eat. And it's not so much what it is to the extent that all the meat that we endeavor to eat, we find out all meat is not very good for you. And likewise, there are many things in the fruit family. There's things in the vegetation family. Sometimes they'll work well for us and sometimes they won't. When my son recognized the sickness that he had, someone gave him some advice regarding what would be the best thing for him to eat. And there wasn't very much he didn't like as far as eating was concerned. He liked all kind of meats. He liked vegetables and he liked all kind of fruit. But some meat wasn't doing him very much good. And when he came to the understanding that only about 19% of his lungs were working, then he knew, I'm going to have to do something different. And so the Lord made it possible for him to be in contact with someone and told him, you know, you need to detox your body. You know, sometimes we eat and take things into our spiritual body that we pretty much need a detoxing to. We don't always have the wisdom and the grace to do the things that are right in God's sight. Because as we went along through life, most things that we ate, it didn't bother us at all. You think maybe a young man in their 30s, they can get through it for a while. But after a while, there will be something about our bodies that begin to talk to us and let us know you're not eating the wisest things for your life. You need to look into something else. Well, we said, well, celery's very good, but you can't keep celery in your refrigerator very long before it begins to process some type of a spoiling. You can't keep beets in your refrigerator very long either. If you're going to use them within the first few days that you get them. They say the same thing about carrots. And so some things need immediate attention. Some things we're going to have to sacrifice about what used to be our special dishes, our special fruit, our special kind of vegetables. There is going to be a difference for some and others. But as I was speaking about my son, he was advised not only to detox, he was advised to have a breakfast, lunch, and supper of kale. Eating kale every day and eating strawberries and mangoes and several other things were especially good for you, blueberries. And so he began to do that, and the Lord began to have mercy upon him and touch him and cause his lungs to be more useful to him. But it's something that he couldn't set aside. He has to do it every day. And so we become accustomed to something that we know is doing good for our body's needs. And so it is with you and I spiritually. There are some things that are especially healthy for our souls. And there's some things that's very especially a hazard for your soul. And so as we go through life, we can rest upon the Lord Jesus to actually reveal himself to us and let us know that pain that you're having in your sides, there's something that your kidneys actually have absolutely need. And there's something about you when you seem to have a tightening in your chest. Well, a lot of times the people say, well, I don't know, that's just a little something that happens, probably heartburn. A lot of times it isn't. A lot of times it's the way that I eat. And so there's a carefulness that we must have of what we take in our physical body, and certainly a carefulness about the things we take into our spiritual body. Both are things that we must be very, very careful about. Not only as an older person, although you become very wide awake the older you get, and you can recognize when something goes into your system, and then you think, you know, I don't know, I think maybe I've had too much of that. I've had too much that which has sugar in it, and I have too much that has starch in it, and I've had too much red meat, and so I need to set some of these things aside. As we go along in our experience with God, there are things that the Lord is going to teach us to understand. There are some things, again, that you're not just picking and choosing. You need to call on God and ask Him. I realize medical science and dietitians can tell you many, many things that's good for you. But you might also look to the God of heaven to talk to us and tell us things about ourselves that maybe everyone doesn't know about. And so, God bless us and help us tonight. I insist upon, by God's grace, that I have some nourishment in my body and in my soul. Because I realize I can't make it on my own. And I realize there's so much, there's more that I don't know than what I do know. And so I want to keep myself open before the Lord. And I want to allow Him to have His way in my life, as I believe you do as well. And so when the Lord invites us to eat, and that's what this is about, He is bringing an invitation to us, even tonight, as He does every day. I want you to come. There's something lacking in your diet, and I want you to come. I want you to eat plenteously, and I want you to eat in such a way it brings something very positive out of your body and out of your soul. And so come and eat, whoever you are. You don't have to have money. You don't have to have a lot in your pocket. All I want you to do is to be willing to take the diet that I have for you. You take that and you eat it at the times that I tell you to, and you will see that it will be a positive thing in your body. And so, most of all, our concern tonight, and the reason why we're in a revival tonight, is that we are concerned about our soul always being nourished. Always something on hand where we can go about and do the duties that God puts before us, satisfy His purpose in our life in a way that we can be strong enough to fight the devil, to refuse him, soul, body, mind, and spirit, everything there is about us, that we can war a warfare, that the enemy can't touch us, or that wicked one touches us not. But we have to follow God's plans and not our very own. Oftentimes we think that we know quite a bit about ourselves, and we know quite a bit about what it's going to take for us to make it to heaven. But folks, we need to have ears to hear so the Lord can tell us exactly what we need. Sometimes we're doing very well along a certain subject, and sometimes we're falling back a bit. We're not in heaven yet. It's something that we know and understand that we have a way to go. We don't know whether we'll live for tomorrow or not, but we expect to. And we try to take in the things that's a blessing and a help for our soul and body, so we'll be able to face tomorrow. And we'll be able have enough of a mind, a soundness of mind, that we can make sound decisions for our lives, because after all, there's always someone looking on your life. There's always someone that's examining us. Sometimes they're saved, sometimes they're not saved. There are people, they say, well, my goodness, how is it? You must do a lot of fasting. You know, I know a lot of people that do fasting. I know some that do the 40-day fast. They are not of our persuasion, but they do it, and they do it every year. And they feel like, I really have something. I know God's going to do something special for me because I fasted. Well, fasting is all right as the Lord directs you to do so. But after all, it's not just fasting that we need. Fasting is a part of it. It's a part of our being nourished in our soul when God directs us to do so. But at the same time, we recognize and know what it is that causes God to bless us and use us is when we learn how to give our whole selves to Him. Everything there is about us to Him. That's what actually causes us to get in the spiritual place where we are confident that the Lord is on our side and that we are on His side. And that the things that we do and say, we do not do it because it's something that we thought of was a good idea. We do it because God revealed Himself to us, and we actually fear doing anything different than what He has told us to do. And so let us all tonight recognize that God has given us invitation every day to eat and take in the things that will strengthen us and cause us to be just the child of God that He would have us to be. As I'm thinking about this and thinking about God and His blessings and His mercy to us, we recognize and know that it takes God's revelation to us. I'm thinking also of the fact that we have prayer in the New Testament. Sixth chapter of the book of Matthew is one. It's also found in Luke, and likewise found in Mark, where the brother, the sister, whoever they may be, and that's every one of us, where we are advised to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Give it, Lord. It has to come from You. Give us that daily bread. Give us what we need. It's not just the bread and the nourishment that I need to our body, but Lord, more than anything, I want You to give us the nourishment that we need day to day to be able to stand fast for You at any cost, to be able to stand up against the enemy of our soul, and to be able to go forth and finish our course with the understanding that the Lord is well pleased with our life. Now, I don't know. I've always, myself personally, I've always asked the Lord to help me. I don't know. I feel like I'm in my latter years, and It's not so much I don't want to do especially anything that I think that is a good thing for me. I want the Lord at the end. I know we all want to hear well done, but I want to hear his words say, you've done what you could. That's what I want to hear. I've had that in my mind many, many years, many, many times. I want to hear him say that to me. I want to hear well done, true enough. But I also want to know that I've done my very best for the Lord. It may not seem much to many, but God knows whether we are satisfying the purpose why he has us here. So may the Lord again bless and encourage your hearts, and let us seek the Lord to give us each day, every day. Every day is new. It's new every morning, so to speak. And every day we need to be cognizant of the fact that I have needs. I have needs before you, Lord. And I'm not certain about what all they are. And I don't know what comes first, second, third, or fourth, but I know I want to have ears to hear you. I want to know what it is you're requiring of me, and I want to know how to avoid being malnourished. God help us. I don't want to be malnourished in my soul. I don't want to be in a state that I'm not able to face the things that I must face. And we are going to have to face some things, and some of them we never expected to have to face them in life. I never knew this was going to happen to me. I never expected this to happen. You know, whatever happens, we have a song in the song book 104, no matter what happens, he'll care for us. If we stay nourished in our soul and take his advice and allow him to truly work the work that he sent us here for, then it will be well with our soul. It is well with my soul. That's what the songwriter said. No doubt we sang it to ourselves from time to time. That's a blessing of a witness that we can have in our soul. It is well with my soul. Thank God. That's something that only God can provide for us. It's a beautiful song, but the reality of it has to be down deep in my very soul. So as we go on seeking God to give us the daily bread that we need to be healthy in our body, Lord, most of all, I want to be healthy in my soul. Every day, Lord, help me to do the things that bring about the nourishment I need to my soul. One of the things that we certainly need to nourish our souls is a life of prayer. Prayer is a means of nourishment to your soul and my soul. God blesses us when he draws us to that time of prayer. He's trying to fill our very souls with what we need to be able to resist the devil so that he will flee. You know, sometimes some people from time to time, when they face certain trials or tests, they get a little shaky about it, a little fearful about it. But you know, the scripture lets us know that we should be careful for nothing. We should not be full of care and anxiety, irritation, impatience, whatever it may be. We cannot find ourselves in that condition and still be able to satisfy God's purpose in our life for that day. Whatever it is, Lord, you're expecting of me today, I want to be able to satisfy you. I feel satisfied, but it's more than a feeling. I need to have a witness in my soul that you're satisfied with me. And so, as we go on with the thought, I'm thinking of the prayer life. The prayer life that we have. And a prayer life, right along with the prayer life, is an ability to really meditate on God's blessings, on his word. Meditation is sometimes we don't take time to meditate as we ought to. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Many times we find ourselves meditating and we actually didn't ask for it, but just something the Lord just put into our minds and our spirit, and we find we've been sitting there meditating day and night on the way the scripture tells us, the first division of Psalms, on this, that we meditate, I can't think exactly what that meditate, what the scripture says right now, but it's a fact that we find ourselves meditating on the things of God. And why is that different than anybody else in the world? The fact is that they don't meditate on God's word. They meditate on something else. They meditate on the new car they're thinking about. They're meditating on the new bedroom set that they need. Maybe a need. And meditating on that, is nothing wrong with us thinking about it. Well, I really want it to be this, that, and the other. And I've always wanted that. But you know, there's so much about the things of this world that we find are not healthy for us to meditate on too much of. May God help us. The things that really mean something to our souls is when you can find yourself meditating about the things of God and you don't want to stop. You want to keep on. Lord, bless me some more here. Bless me, oh my Savior. Bless me as I bow low at thy feet. That's how we get blessings from God. And that nourishes our soul. What we think about, the thoughts that we have everything to do with whether or not we have the nourishment that God would have us to have. All right, I want to turn to another scripture. Genesis, the 28th chapter, probably very familiar with you, about Jacob and his journey to his mother's land. Genesis 28, and I think perhaps we will start reading at the 10th verse. Actually, there's going to be quite a bit to read there. We just start at the 10th verse and just read throughout the rest of the chapter.
And Jacob went out of Beersheba.
Yes.
And went toward Haran.
Yes.
And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth.
Yes.
And the top of it reached to heaven.
Amen.
And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it.
Amen.
And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father.
Yes, sir.
And the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest.
Yes.
To thee will I give it, and to thy seed.
Amen.
And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west,
Amen.
And to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed.
Amen.
And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest.
Yes.
And will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee.
Amen.
Until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of.
Amen.
And Jacob awake out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place,
yes.
And I knew it not.
Amen.
And he was afraid, and said, how dreadful is this place.
Yes.
This is none other but the house
of God.
And this is the gate of
this
heaven.
Is the gate of heaven.
And Jacob arose early in the morning,
Amen.
And took the stone that he had put for his pillow,
yes.
And set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first.
Yes.
And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me,
yes.
And will keep me in this way that I go,
yes.
And will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on,
Amen.
So that I come again to my father's house in peace,
Amen.
Then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee.
Thank you, Lord. When you think about Jacob, you realize he's running from his brother right now because he realizes he wronged his brother, and he doesn't want to face him. His mother advised him that way. As a matter of fact, his mother set up things for him to be able to fool his dad that he was Esau rather than Jacob. But as it was, God permitted it that way. We don't understand everything, especially in the Old Testament, Genesis. There are things that happen, but that we realize it wouldn't serve very well for us to do some of the things that Abraham and Isaac or even Jacob did. It wouldn't serve us very well. But in that time and season, in that generation, God allowed it to happen that way. And so he came to an understanding that the background that he had was a great blessing for him. And so have our backgrounds. Most of us have some kind of attachment to mothers or grandmothers or great-grandmothers that had it not been for the life that they lived, we would not have been influenced as we became in living for the Lord. So he recognized there's something about that Abraham. I never met him, never saw him, but there was a life that he lived that he passed down to his son. And then his son passed it down to Jacob. And so he began to think more soberly about his life and what he did and what he was doing with his life. And so he had not had the same kind of encounter with God as he had this time. God revealed himself to this young man. You know, there's a time and a season for every purpose. And when God reveals himself to us, we need to take heed. Thankfully, he took heed. And he became a changed man, but it is not as much of a changed man that he needed to get to the 32nd chapter when he wrestled with the angel. But as it were, God looks for changes in our lives. We can go so far and continue to do the same kind of thing that we do. Although we're doing our very best to live for the Lord, there's some changes that God requires of us. And when we allow him to work that into our life, into our heart, and we make that change, this is between us and God. It's between us and God. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Is that what it says? Work it out. Here he recognized that he had a background. He had something to rest on. You know, as far as our prayer life is concerned, most of us have something to build on. We can go back to our Father's praying ground, or we can blend in with the generation that we're in. We can do either one. We have that choice. God help us. Every generation that comes around is just a little bit more of the standard that they don't, I don't know, I don't see where we need all this. I think that's a little too much. I think that's a little too old-timey. But I'm going to tell you something. You want to get your prayers through? Go back to your Father's praying ground. Do what they did. Humble yourself before the Lord. Put that first. That's part of your nourishment, is that you go back to your Father's praying ground. Is it Jeremiah, is it 16:6? I'm not quite sure. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And you walk in those. Afraid not as many are walking in that path. God help us. Not trying to offend anyone, but it's just a fact. We're dealing with generations that don't think like older people did, that our grandparents did, and the way they lived. We're living in a generation that even in my age, in my children, and the young people that I see, they don't seem to be living by the same standard that I live. But you know what? Some things you just have to keep with God and just pray. And the Lord knows when a person is doing the very best that they can. And oftentimes we don't know that we can press and do a little bit more than what we're doing. But I encourage you tonight to go back to the praying ground of the saints of God that stood fast for God at any cost. And thinking about I'm thinking about 12th chapter of the Revelation. He overcame me by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death.
Yes.
And there's some deaths that we're going to have to deal with too, if we want to make it all the way. The scripture says we have the sentence of death on us, but then there's another scripture that tells us likewise that I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, where Paul wrote the other, and he also wrote, I die daily. There's things about our lives that we're not going to go very far, and we're not going to go very deep until we can learn how to die to ourselves.
Yes.
You know, one of the most difficult things that a human being, and they're saints, one of the most difficult things that we find in life is to give God the complete right of ourselves to him. You know, there's nothing about us that doesn't belong to him. Sometimes we get it in our minds, hey, this is my body. I'm going to do what I think is right, but, you know, I'm not an old fogey for sure, and I'm going to do what seems to be something that maybe a great majority of the people my age are doing. Nothing wrong with that. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Unless we learn how to give the right of ourselves to the Lord, we will never abandon ourselves to him. We'll never be able to do that. And that is something that we must do. There are things about us, our thinking process, and there's things about the way we dress, there's things about even our fingernails. God help us. I say I'm not trying to offend anyone, but I'm just telling you, I don't know what kind of age you want to call that I'm in, but I know how I was taught way back when. My grandmother, she was a pastor, and I remember the things as a girl, how she taught us and how she preached, and Lord help us. People today will say, all that is definitely not necessary. But you know, if the Holy Ghost tells me it's necessary,
yes,
that I need to step on up,
yes,
and find myself doing what's pleasing in God's sight. You know, you can't please people. There's no way you're going to please people. Everyone is not going to agree with what you do. But you have to know that you're in the center of the will of God.
Yes.
And that you're willing to make whatever sacrifice, regardless of the circumstances that are surrounding you at the time, you're going to have to learn to go God's way if you are going to be able to be the blessing that God ordained for you to be. We're all here for some purpose, and we don't know what all it is, but we know obeying God and following Jesus each step of the way is a part of it. So God bless us and encourage us as we go along in our lives. May we recognize this young man, he had a fear going on about him. It's a fearful thing, and we need to have enough fear of God in us to realize God means business when he deals with us. I'm trying to think of a scripture regarding God's wisdom. Job 28:28, and unto God he said, several chapters that was addressing, you know, where is wisdom? Where is wisdom found? Is it found in the depths of the sea? Where is it? There's a path no fowl knoweth, and the virtuous and the vultures I have never seen. There are some things that we're not going to see unless God gives us the vision for it. But there is something about having the fear of God on our heart. That's wisdom.
Yes.
You don't have to ask a lot of questions. There are people, I say, that God blessed us to be able to witness the life that they lived and the godly influence that they had. It was because they had a healthy fear of God. Healthy fear of God on their heart. There's another scripture in 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes. Unto man, he said. No, that's not it. It says something about I'm sorry, I can't think of all what all those scriptures are. The 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, maybe the 13th verse?
Let us
hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
Fear God,
keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God help us to return back to our Father's prayer ground. If we have slipped a bit and we don't seem to have the same impetus the way we did in times past, even the same kind of fear that we once had, maybe when we first got saved, that is something that is necessary. It is imperative that we have a healthy fear of God on our heart in our walk with God. All right. Let's think a bit about the children of Israel. Someone read Numbers 11, 4 through 6. Would you please do that? And then someone else, would you please read 106, Psalms 14 and 15. It speaks something to us. You know, the children of Israel are very rebellious. And they had very little appreciation for how God used Moses to bring them out of the land of Egypt. And they actually didn't feel like God had the ability to provide them with food in the wilderness. But the Lord showed them otherwise. Would you read that, please?
It was 11, 4 through 6, you said?
I think.
And the mixed multitude that was among them.
Mixed multitude.
Fell a lusting.
Folks, you know, you're always going to encounter a mixed multitude in the religious world. You're going to encounter them. And we'll have to learn how to stand our ground by God's grace. Read on some more, please.
And the children of Israel
mm-hmm.
also wept again and
yes.
said,
yes.
Who shall give us flesh to eat?
Yes.
We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely.
Yes.
The cucumbers and the melon and the leeks
yes.
and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away.
Yes.
There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes.
Weren't they ungrateful? You think we can be that ungrateful sometimes? You think we can?
Yes, Lord.
Yes, sometimes we can. Then we catch ourselves. We realize that God has done so much for us. How could we for one moment murmur and complain about what He's done? We're all here because God ordained it to be so. But He blessed our very souls. And there are times He blessed us in our body. Many of us could have been gone a long time ago, but God saw fit for us to stay here. Don't we want to use that time? Don't we want to use those prayers? Don't we want to use what God has afforded us, that which is to His glory alone? We'll get nowhere glorifying ourselves. To God be the glory, to Him it is due. All right, would you do? Let me try to hurry up here. Pray for me. I appreciate your patience. 106 Psalms. Did I say a verse? Yeah, I wanted to get that leanness.
But lusteth exceedingly in the wilderness.
Yes.
And the tempted God in the desert.
Yes.
And He gave them their request, but sent leanness to their souls.
Yes. Now that's not a good thing, is it? It's not a good thing for us to be lean in our soul. God help us. But you know what? When we get drawn away into worldly things, we get drawn away into things that are not a blessing and a benefit for our soul. It's not that hard to get drawn away. Just be a little careless, just a little bit. Just forget to pray.
That's so.
Just forget. Just for a little bit. I'll catch up with that later on. You know what? Sometimes later on doesn't get you there. So God help us. It's imperative. These things are imperative if we are going to live the kind of life that God's approval can rest upon. We don't want a leanness in our soul. We want to be able to keep a soundness in our life. All right, let's turn to, finish this maybe, in the 6th chapter of the book of John. He tells us about the bread of life. Let's do 6th chapter. That's 35 through 40. Would you read that, please?
And Jesus said unto them,
yes.
I am the bread of life.
Yes.
He that cometh to me shall never hunger.
Yes.
And he that believeth on me shall never thirst.
Yes.
But I said unto you,
amen,
that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven,
yes,
not to do mine own will,
yes,
but the will of him that sent me.
Amen.
And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me,
okay,
that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him,
yes,
may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Okay, where are you reading that now?
That was 35 through 40.
Okay, John, thank chapter. You very much. All right, this next segment talks about what was very, very offensive to those that heard it. Except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Now, many people didn't take that with the right attitude, did they? They thought it was very literal. But this was all in the realm of the spiritual mind. And a person that had that kind of spiritual mind recognized that we are to follow in Jesus' steps. He made a great sacrifice beyond what we can still take in very well. It's not easy for us to take in what Jesus actually did to save our soul. But the fact of the matter remains, we need to endeavor to be more like Christ. And we need to do it in such a manner and take in the Word of God. This is life. This is our life. God's Word. That we learn to appreciate it and love it and recognize and know there's nothing to be offended with in the Word of God. Nothing to be offended with. You know, many people don't understand a lot of time that they may spend thinking and meditating, and a lot of times it's their thoughts. And some people seek to be nourished by their thoughts, but you will never be nourished in your soul by your thoughts. We all have thoughts. And some of them are sound, and some of them aren't the best. We just took up on them and just felt like, well, that's what my common sense tells me. That's what my wisdom tells me, but your wisdom and your common sense is not the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so God help us and encourage us. That's something many people try to lean on and nourish themselves with their thoughts. They're not God's thoughts. They're not God's thoughts. Now, if we know our thoughts aren't worth a hill of beans, and neither is any other that has flesh and blood, and they're going by them, they don't mean anything at all when you bring it beside God's thoughts. So God help us. We want to get something from the Lord that will bless us and strengthen us and cause us to have the right vision as to where He would have us to go. All right, I'm just about finished. I'm just going to just speak this one out, 25th. Chapter of the book of Matthew, where Jesus was talking about how it was going to be in the last day, and how there was going to be a separation of those on the right hand and those on the left.
Yeah.
But those that were on the right hand, and Jesus began to tell them how much he appreciated them going and visiting the poor, visiting those that were in prison, giving a drink of water just to the very least of them.
Yes.
And they thought, well, when did we do this? You know, it means something to obey God and do something right in His sight, and you're not even conscious of it. You're just doing what you feel like the Lord wants you to do. You're not looking for any credit. You're not looking for anyone to pat you on the back and say, my, you're a real generous person, aren't you? My, I like that. Well, you know what? Jesus loves it because He knows that it's a sacrifice for people to do those things, and it's an act of humility when we are not even conscious of doing those things for others. And there was those on the left side, and they were very much in question. They were very much in question. How come you're going to bless them? And then, what do you mean? I don't even remember anything about it, because their minds were more on themselves than there was when the Lord tried to speak to them and let them know. This is what it takes. It takes us making a sacrifice just like Jesus did. It takes us allowing the Lord to have His way in our life. God bless the reading of His word. Pray for me.